Hello.
Hello.
It's business time.
That's right.
Bang.
Welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast.
Business. That's a lie.
Oh, business is good. My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me today, two fellow video games people. Is video games been sexist? Is that, does that up? I don't know. Lorraine Morbido is here.
Lies.
And Brian Taylor's here, joining us as well.
I'm a person.
Oh, come on, speak
Outlook
up.
Outlook unclear.
You can't hear me?
There you go.
Speak no, it was just like a little cur.
Do you want to go all mumblecore on this podcast just yet?
ASMR. Cubicorn Games ASMR cast.
So now, I'm going to tell you about video games. Yes.
For the rest of the time, I am.
Go sleep.
I will. Don't.
It's like, I have to, like, if you had an ASMR channel on YouTube, do you think, like, do you just make, like, 5 months of content and you just re-upload the same, like, you just, like, well, come on, man. How many different ways can you make weird, tiny noises?
I've never actually listened to ASMR.
No.
Not like, well, it might have, like, happened. I don't know. But, like, I don't go out of my way to find it.
Okay.
For me, it's just kind of annoying.
I mean, it's
supposed to
you
be
know,
like I've, calming and peaceful, but it's just boring.
I think the most ASMR I've listened to is people making fun of ASMR. Let's be real.
Could be. I don't, I'm not gonna knock anybody. If
yeah,
that's
let
the
them
thing.
Have their fun.
No,
yeah.
more
whatever,
just like
but,
it's
but,
more just someone trying like facetiously doing that,
yeah.
like in jest,
mm-hmm.
not like,
kinda like
earnest ASMR. Just like someone pretending to do ASMR for a bit.
Although I don't know that. There's any rhyme or reason to
ASMR. I don't think there is. I think we're past that at this point because I think originally, like when that became a memeified or whatever, like when it first became a thing, and, like there was like some contingent of people, whether they had evidence or not, it was like, no, it's just science. It's just the sound of something. Research indicates calm thoughts. And I think that is not true, but that's fine. You know, as long as no one is like, as long as no one is saying like, hey, this will cure your asthma or whatever. Like, if the pitch is, if you enjoy listening to this, listen to it, and then people enjoy listening to it,
yeah,
that's fine.
I don't
fine.
Care, man. You do you.
The only thing I could maybe see using it for is like, if I wanted to see how it would influence the growth of plants.
Sure. Okay.
Like,
yeah, why not?
Because they do say like talking to plants yeah. or whatever is.
Well, I think a lot of that actually has to do with.
Oh, the breath.
With breath.
Yeah.
With it.
Oxygen
releasing
and carbon dioxide.
Releasing the carbon dioxide.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. very smart. There you go.
I mean,
brain,
I can't
laying
say,
the science down.
I can't say for certain that sound also doesn't play a part. Because
uh-huh.
it could. It could.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm pretty sure a lot of that is the actual, like,
okay, that makes
you're
sense.
Releasing carbon dioxide at them, which is what they want.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Plants, they like being breathed on. Unlike your ex-girlfriend.
Oh, gross.
Anyway.
Don't breathe on people.
We're here to do a podcast. This is going to be more traditional. I just got to, man, we just got to get the calendar and everything worked out. We got to do more of these. We got to get the dev streams back up at a regular cadence, which will happen. So I'll lead off with one update to form, to just like the day-to-day goings-on for me and Lorraine around here. And then
bang,
we'll
bang.
Just spin off into video game nonsense. Because
oh,
there's a lot
it.
Of video game stuff going.
Bring it.
I've just been cleaning up
whole
some stuff
yesterday.
When we had first transitioned to doing dev streams, I basically just took
shoved
that room.
All the fun.
Well, man, that is
damn.
Brutal. Like, geez, Lorraine, holy shit.
Took the fun
I basically
out of
just
this.
Took the room we were streaming games out of while playing them and just put that stuff on top of it, like a new coat of paint or
Maybe
like wallpaper
sit on
or whatever.
An uncomfy chair.
I mean, I can get you a comfier chair.
But, I don't like that chair. Sucks.
But,
you got the big nice chair, and I'm just like, here's this shitty office chair to sit in.
I
it's
know
like
for
30
fact
years
that
old.
I said, I'll get you a new chair, and you were like, no, this is fine, originally.
Well, it is fine. It doesn't mean I have to like it. I can sit
but
upon
anyway,
it.
And it just made that room more cumbersome to deal with. It made it harder to get at anything else that was in there.
I am not removing that couch from that room, because it was a pain in the
no,
butt
I don't
to
need
put
to.
It in there to begin with.
But I'm just
we
saying.
We had to take the door off.
That now I've just like Mark. Just reorganized all the stuff in there such that it is
you
at least
the fun
easier
more,
to
didn't you? You took more of the fun out of that room. Didn't
no,
you?
It's just like there's now a walking path to every corner of it where you
coward.
Would need to access something.
Coward.
You can get to everything in a way that like previously would have required like stepping around or climbing over things.
But I love climbing over things.
So I'm finishing up that, Clutter. And then I'm messing with our little home office space a little downstairs too. Amen. That I'm thinking might get I moved one of the desks and I just generally clean some stuff up in there. And once I'm finished with it, it might be our new go-to podcast space. We might use this other room for some other shit. But Ooh, anyway, so that's garbage. So we're doing a podcast now. Sometime in the near future, we'll have another dev stream. If nothing else, next Thursday.
Bang.
Thursday after you listen to this. But that's about it. Just like lots of, you know, just cleaning up and going through crap. I'm gonna at some point take probably a large box of random bullshit to Salvation Army or Goodwill or whatever. Yeet. And wash my hands of it.
I need to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, ugh. But anyway.
I did some recently, but not enough.
Yeah. So pivoting off of that, let's talk about some whatever you guys want to talk about. Video games, not video games.
I can do a smattering of both.
All right. Hit me, Lorraine. What's on your mind? Spin me a yarn.
I'll start with non-video games, at least for right now, because this is all I fucking talk about on anything. Work Potter. Today. For all whoever, I mean, I guess I haven't really talked about it too much on like the podcast proper.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch any of the dev streams, this is like all I talk about while Dustin codes for like in silence for like 3 hours. I started
as
working.
God intended. Go on.
Back in May, I started working as a decorator at the Greenfield Village Pottery Shop. America's number one history attraction or whatever it's called.
On brand.
We're number
something
one.
Something like that. And I've been, as someone who's never really ever done pottery, I've been learning a lot these past 4 months and it's been a lot of fun. But today it was interesting because it wasn't anything I was doing. It was more the guests that were there. So it was pretty slow. It's been pretty slow the past few days because it's first week of September after Labor Day. Kids are back in school. People aren't vacationing anymore. Tuesday was the village was a literal ghost town. Yesterday was a little bit better, and today was probably up on par with Wednesday, day being Thursday. But early on in the day, this morning I was making some more, I was prepping some Preston slip plates. So I do the decoration first, and then Saturday, I'll go over it, flatten the slip down so it's like flat on the plate, and then make it into the plate form. But I was doing the decorations today, and while I'm doing it, I had 6 of them planned, 3 small plates and 3 medium ones, which is generally the amount I've been doing for like all of my plates. Cause it's a nice wide selection. It gives me a lot of practice for both forming and the trimming of the plates, which are 2 separate days. And it's a nice wide arc of what we need to produce, essentially. I've done 5 at this point in the day. I've done 5 of the plates, so it's probably close to like, I don't know, 10:30-ish or so or whatever. This group of at least 5, maybe more, I honestly don't know how many there were, slightly older people, I would say probably like 60 plus in age, give or take. They're in a group, or at least they came in as a group, either whether they were going through the village or not together, who cares. Our presenter in the shop had just finished giving them the probably good 5 or so minute spiel on what we do in the shop as a whole, what all 3 of us decorators were doing today, because the potters were doing stuff with the kiln, so we were the only ones actively working.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 2 decorators were both sanding down some sgraffito plates that they'd done. So those are very intricately carved plates. So there wasn't, I don't want to say there wasn't anything exciting going on, but they weren't doing anything like attention grabbing. I was doing the attention grabbing stuff with slip trailing. So I've got this plate in front of me. I just finished like smoothing down the surface so I can decorate it. The shop is dead silent. No one is talking. Our presenter has just finished speaking. There's nothing more for me to add without repeating things he's already said. The guests aren't saying a word. They're all staring at me in silence, watching on bated breath for me to decorate this plate. And I'm just like, oh my fuck. I'm like trying not to cave under the pressure. Because I mean, like, the the design I was going to do wasn't anything crazy. I was doing some holiday plates just because we need some more for the shop or whatever, for because it'll take a month for them to be done anyway. So we need more for Christmas time. And I'm just going to make a tree, like a Christmas tree or whatever. So I'm like slowly like doing my guiding lines to give me the tree shape, because I'm really bad about making the trees look even if I don't have those lines down there. And then I get my slip and I'm like slowly squeezing out the design, and they're watching every move. Seems just
to be the best tree.
Enamored. And I'm just like sweating bullets, and I do the tree, I finish it, and they're all just like, they're like, oh my gosh, like this is incredible. You guys are all so talented. I lean back just a hair to look at the tree. It's completely lopsided. The tree top is veering to the left. The stump is going right. And they're just enamored by it. And they just like, after I'm done, they're like, you ladies do such good jobs. Like, this is incredible. Blah, blah, blah. They leave the shop. No one else is in there. Silent for a few minutes. Our lead decorator, who's not sitting at the front table but slightly back, she just kind of turns to me. She's like, oh my God. She's like, Lorraine, she's like, I felt that from over here. Like, that was terrifying. And I'm like, I know. And I'm just like, during this process, the relief presenter had come in giving the normal, like the main presenter for the day, his morning break.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She'll come in, give him 20 minutes, do his lunch, and then come back later in the afternoon for his other break. So she saw all of this too. And I'm just like, I was like, it was so silent. I was like, well, they're like the other two decorators too. They've been doing this for a while. Like, they've been in the village for a while. They're like, I hate when that happens. It's just like, I'm like, I wasn't even doing anything good. I'm like, I showed them the tree. I'm like, look at how bad this is. I'm just like, I'm doing it again. But it was just the most nerve-wracking thing. Cause I mean, like, I've learned how to do everything in the shop with people watching. Like, when I started, we were in the, like, right in the middle of school trip season. So it's like hundreds of kids coming in all during the day, all of them like leaning over the bench to look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that part doesn't bother me. I can work with a room full of people shouting and I don't care. But just the silent, like, just intensity of the stares and the like watching the golf, like the putt. And it's just like, oh my God, it was awful.
Now, is that something that you can actually like repair or remove?
Oh, yeah.
If you do it quick
enough?
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
The thing with the Preston slip is it's still all very wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just like, if I can just take a sponge and just completely wipe. Ooh, I just hit the
Careful.
Mic. Wipe down, wipe the whole, all the slip off the plate, make sure it's done, and okay, re-smooth it good. And do it again. So it was no big deal. The second tree did look better, still slightly lopsided, but I just need to work on my tree. but just the like, that was a shook way to start the morning. Just like the immense pressure that these people were putting on me, because they had nothing else to watch. Like, they could have watched mm-hmm. the two ladies sand plates, which, I mean, it's just them taking a little bit of like nylon netting and just lightly softening edges that they had carved away, but that's not like exciting. And I mean, I wasn't doing anything like groundbreaking, but it was just like, oh my Christ. Just like, ugh.
You can choose between watching someone sand and watching someone draw.
Yeah. But, and then, like, normally, there would have been, like, a potter out, like, just doing literally anything on the other side of the shop, and they would have been completely enamored.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, they're at, like, because at least when they're doing stuff, they're on the wheel. So the wheel is making sounds, because it's got an electric motor mm-hmm. on it. But with me, it's just me moving my hand and squeezing a rubber bulb to get the slip to come out. And it's, I know, riveting. But it's just like, oh my gosh. It was, and just like, the sympathy that those two ladies gave me were just like, I can't believe, like, they're like, she's like, I felt that from over, she's just like, I felt like I couldn't stand it from here. Because, I mean, we're all, for lack of, like, for better or for worse, we're all pretty introverted as, like, the decorators or whatever. Like, we'll still, like, we're able to talk and stuff like that and do it. But we all, like, none of us like being in the center of attention.
Mm.
And I had, like, 50 spotlights on me in that moment, with an entire auditorium of people watching me to make this one plate. And I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, I didn't look up at them. I was just like, mm-hmm. you're all staring at me and I'm just going to look down and make this stupid tree. it was rough. It was really rough.
Man.
Do you think it would have been, because the other thing is I've seen you do some stuff like that and like kind of narrate your way through it. as you're going.
He's so much better.
Was it like the setup that like the way that it kind of got dropped in your lap?
I couldn't give a setup because that was already taken because they had been in the shop for a while. So our presenter was giving them the whole thing and told them like, this is what she's doing. This is why she's doing it this way. This is what she's going to do next. This is the technique that she's using. This is how she does the play. He gave everything. I had no material. I couldn't say anything that hadn't already been said aside from, I'm making a Christmas tree for a Christmas plate. Like, there was no, and they weren't giving me anything. It was just silence. Like, normally someone will be like, oh, like, just ask anything, anything. And they gave me nothing.
And now we watch.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah, you need the old.
I was a zoo animal.
Filibuster standby. You need to go down like your Aaron Aronsons. Just read the phone book at that point. If you.
And what if I could? But I couldn't. There was nothing for me to do. And I just wanted to get that plate done because I had other places to trim.
That sounds intense.
Oh, God. It was awful.
But you got through it.
I did.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That was like hour one.
Other than that, that's a non-video game thing.
That's a non-video
game. What was your
game
video
thing?
Game thing?
I mean, I could just talk about video games in general.
If you want to.
It's been a hell of a minute.
Feel free.
Over the weekend, we were playing some Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, yeah. I might play some more of that tonight still.
That's what just cool dangerous. Because it's so much fun. Like, I still don't know how you guys messed up that one roller coaster so bad with the nausea rating. But, like, my coasters are great. I don't know why Phil hates making custom coasters so much. It's a lot of fun. I was terrible at it as a child, but I'm so much better at it now. That game's just fun for being, what, like, almost 20 years old? It's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
That first game had to come out in, like, 99 or 2000 or something like that. Like, yeah, vanilla, like, super vanilla, like, base level. No expansions.
Never got better than that second one, I don't think.
They come out before or after the Dreamcast.
I'd say
probably before. Probably I would, a little bit.
I would say at least a little bit.
See,
I'd have
I
to guess.
Know.
Just
but like,
throwback to a few minutes
like,
ago.
That game is just fun. Like, I just like that game. That's mainly all.
I think I'm in one of those too.
What? You're in Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Well, no, not Roller Coaster Tycoon, but a similar game. So.
The other thing I will mention that I don't think I've talked about on here yet, I don't think, because like we've been just doing the dev podcast or whatever. Need to pick up and finish it.
Came out on March 31st, 1999.
Bang,
they
bang.
They did the Dreamcast by about 6 months.
I have played a little Persona Q2,
mm-hmm.
which I need to play more of, because I just kind of like, I just got busy and kind of
stopped.
That
has the protagonist you love?
It does. And she's beautiful. She's fantastic. I wish it was dubbed. I understand why they didn't do it, because they did it for the first one, but this is also just, like, it's so niche,
mm-hmm.
like, and they don't like to give me what I want. But all of her dialogue is just a treasure. She's fantastic. That game is still, it's still just fun. Like, it's a fun, like, kind of dungeon crawly, turn-based RPG, which I enjoy. And it's just got Persona garbage in it, and that's just fun. I had finished the first dungeon, and I was going in. I was partway through maybe like a good half or so, because I have the Persona 4 people with me now. Probably about halfway through the second one, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Or like at least a third of the way through. But I do want to play more of that. Other than that, it's just been Destiny.
Okay, that's fair.
All I have time to play.
Can I loop back on two things?
Bring it.
The first one is I saw Tokyo Game Show's next week, apparently.
Okay.
And on the list of things that they're showing off, there is a trailer for that, the golden...
Oh.
Persona 5 Royal, I guess,
yeah.
is the...
Persona 5. Mm.
Is the Persona 5, but
there's
more...
There's a lady!
...version of that game. And also, the people who made, which, you know, again, this explains so many things, and when start to hate them. No, it's just that, so those first two Roller Coaster Tycoon games were made by the same dude. The third one was made by a developer called Frontier Developments.
And them.
Who they still make, they're still around today, and they make basically those modern, like, they made that Jurassic World park building game,
okay.
and they make Planet Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And none of them are better than Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
No.
I haven't heard of any of these games.
Planet Coaster's pretty recently.
Oh, Amazon.
Shh.
But anyway,
quiet your ASMR.
The original Roller Coaster Tycoon. Do you know how much? Guess how much that game cost when it came out, according to Wikipedia?
$20.
$78.
$6. That's wow. what it says on this page. What a deal, man!
That game.
For the number on 17 floppies.
For the number of hours I put into that thing, that might be my best like game cost to time value ever. Personally,
that game is a treasure. Roller Coaster Tycoon is the pinnacle of PC games, and we've never gotten.
I don't know about that, but it is very good.
The pinnacle. Name a better PC game right now.
I can't name a better holistically created. Park simulator, so there's
name that. Name a better PC game right now.
I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of different opinions.
Yeah, this is not a fight we need to have.
Roller Coaster Tycoon is the pinnacle of PC gaming.
Says Lorraine Morbido.
This is the hill. This is the that roller is, coaster hill I am dying on.
I'm willing to accept that it is your favorite PC game.
I am going to put the boosters on the bottom and we'll get struck by that roller coaster car.
Lorraine, I'm going to make you a special edition of Roller Coaster Tycoon that has like your face and like your box quote on it.
Sure.
The best PC game ever made.
Sure.
Two thumbs up.
There you go.
80 thumbs up. This is a slight tie-in. Which is worse, thumbs down or thumbs off?
I don't even know what that second thing means.
It means so bad they've removed your thumbs.
So you do say it's worse.
I would think thumbs off is worse, yeah.
Because no, just, this is just another work thing. We've got those goddamn mittens. And yesterday, the one, the shop manager, I guess, I don't know, Lead Potter comes over and she's like, one of the mittens broke. She hands up this pair, holds up this pair where one of the mittens, his thumb is just off. And thankfully it was the right one because we have a lot of rights left over. I was able to just swap one out and send it away. But then we pose the question to each other, which is worse, thumbs down or thumbs off? So we both agreed that off was like, that was worse.
Is that like the thing where you're like... or however you do that.
Sure.
Dustin is miming a child's
trick. That
doesn't
really play for radio, but...
For those of you who can't see it.
Thank you, Brian. Anyway.
Color commentary.
Moving back into the realm of PC games and...
We peaked in 1999, so...
I would call... Brian, you've been playing a game. I would call the Civilization games like sim-ish.
I would say they're very sim-ish.
Yeah. Do they have simlish?
No, I don't think so.
Boo. No, but they have lots of different languages that you can hear people speaking. It's kind of cool.
Is one of them simlish?
No.
I doubt it. I mean, I bet you could replace all the audio tracks that are in the game with just like existing simlish if you wanted.
I mean, probably.
But, anyway, you've been playing some Civilization.
Oh, I've played way too much Civilization.
Civ 6, that's the one? Okay. Because I haven't really played one of those games since Civ 4, so I've been out of the loop for a hot second.
I'll tell you, they've gotten pretty much like the same / better.
They've maintained!
I mean, yeah, I've heard that, like, that it hasn't been for lack of quality. Like, it's just like, I've heard people who have played each of those games say that they're all pretty good.
Yeah, so. I was going to say that, like, I feel like the quality... Mm-hmm. of the experience is always the same, but it's always a high quality experience.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a track record of, like, if you asked me what is your favorite Civ game, I'd just be like, what's the current Civ game?
Right.
Because that's the one with the best graphics and the most options, and that's my favorite right now.
Because they don't really like change much up gameplay wise, right?
Not a lot of times. They'll change a bunch of the civilizations and the powers.
Okay, I was
going to
ask what is different. Units, so it's just basically like, it's almost like, for lack of a better word, like Pokemon Generations, essentially.
Yeah, a
like,
little bit.
Adding in fresh stuff, slightly different mm-hmm. mixes, but it's like the core itself is the same.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And I think ever since like, I don't know how long you've been able to do it, but you can create your own maps. Like,
ooh.
Not create your own maps, like, lay everything out, but, like, I can tell it, like, the kind of map I want it to auto-generate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Like, neat.
Lots of landmass, or, like, oceans, or, like, hilly terrain,
that's
or something.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I enjoy naval world domination.
Okay. So you're your Great Britain circa, like, Lady 200s.
Actually, right now, I've been playing the Maori. They're out in the new civilization. I picked up the latest expansion called Gathering Storms, I think.
Okay.
And this sounds like Pokemon TCG expansion.
It adds some new stuff in, but it also adds, like, a whole climate change dynamic and things like that.
Is it directly tied to, like, as the industry, like, stats of your civilization go up? Oh, man, that's so good. That's amazing. That's
now cool. There's coal power, so, like, you can find coal deposits. There's oil.
Can you clean the coal, though?
You, well, no. That's not an option. Just like there's in no real clean life. Coal.
Exactly.
But there, like, the there are certain special things you can do, like moving away from one type of energy to another, or like nuclear reactors. Like they'll run for so many turns, but then you've got to do projects to like upgrade them, or they might melt down.
Cool.
You have to do maintenance on certain things, but I don't know. I think there's a. Civ is a game that can suck like 15 hours out of a day and before you know it, and that's
part
what
of it is the pacing does though. To me. Like,
well, there's also so many things to focus on that it's like, okay, I click next turn like now. Reevaluate all my cities.
It's not necessarily a slower like it's a methodical game. Mm-hmm. It is like, slower, fast, like whatever. But like you said, there's just a million different like. Everything to take in, which is why I don't think I will ever play a game like that, because that is way too much. But I can appreciate it from a distance.
It's like
board games turned up to a level that I want no part of.
Yeah.
And I don't need that in my life. That's way too much.
That's kind of what it's like for me. And I like, I don't know, maybe there's some sort of like British colonialism streak in me or something, but I like
to conquer.
I love to play like a trading naval civilization.
Okay.
And I just keep spreading out, and I play like on island maps, so like every city I've got has a harbor, and I get all these traders going.
Uh-huh.
And then that makes me start to feel like an American, because I have all this money.
Uh-huh.
And then I wait until some civ gets mad at me and declares war, and then I take their whole civilization. I've very vindictively. Uh-huh. Like, you declared a war on me? Well, you just lost four cities, Hungary.
Yeah.
Have fun with those two outposts in the north, because this literally happened yesterday.
That's funny.
Fucking Hungary. And then Montezuma decided to flex on me, so I took three of his cities.
Are you going to get his revenge soon?
Because I had battleships in the 1800s.
Same.
And I had ain't like five ships, and I was the dominating naval power in the world.
Uh-huh.
That's it's so great.
That's
like, you attacked me with barbarians and did one damage.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sweetie.
Mm. Yeah.
Because like Brian was saying, they do light updates to all that stuff. Like they do
Blitzkrieg the Barbarian.
Like they change the like many of the civilizations, the, like the default ones you can pick from, change. Like they might introduce or remove a handful of them over the course of the games, but in most games they're like all they're most of them are in there, and like they might be represented by a different historical figure. Like
sure.
The United States might be represented by Lincoln or like Teddy Roosevelt or Washington or something. And they're just like a representation of that, like.
And then Gandhi nukes everyone.
Yeah, that culture, basically.
I know the joke. Gandhi nukes everyone.
And then they do light rebalancing on like the power sets, because the civs also have their like unique properties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they have bonuses and you know, possibly detriments.
I mean, it's a board game.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's a board game.
One
that you don't have to clean up.
I usually wait and I get stuff like the Gathering Storm DLC, because a lot of times they'll package some of their little ones into a bigger one, or they'll give you some for free, and that's just when I just buy a DLC expansion and get like a bunch of civs at once and play around with some of them.
Yeah, that's really neat.
And they did something new in this one that I haven't seen before. I don't fully understand it, but they seem to have two different versions of England, like the Queen. I can't remember who they chose.
Interesting.
It might be an Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
There are many.
Maybe Victoria?
Maybe, but I know it's like the same. It's the same woman, but she's got like two different hairdos, and you can pick different like the
degrees
the two,
of English.
Well, no, the two different leaders though, they have different abilities, but they're both still naval related because England.
I mean, England
was my Civ 5 civ, so
England is bae.
Yeah. For naval civs. I love island maps where I can just hop around and...
Why not?
See, because then eventually I'll get aircraft carriers and then the whole world's fucked.
Mm-hmm. I mean, same.
But I try to win via, like, technology and culture and stuff and trading.
Uh-huh.
And then... But I just love waiting for somebody to attack me. Because then I get to feel like the good guy.
Uh-huh. It is Queen Victoria, apparently.
Okay.
Google search confirms.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, I think she's the only one I've seen them do that with, but...
That's neat.
Interesting.
I do wonder, because they have an option where you can tell it, like, no duplicate leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that counts as a duplicate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fascinating.
I haven't actually played her yet, so...
Mm-hmm.
The Maori have taken all three of my games so far, because they're a really fun naval civilization to play.
Okay.
Bang.
They start with some pretty, like, two naval techs. They can cross ocean tiles and stuff. It's pretty legit if you're into the Navy.
Yeah.
In the
that Navy. Sounds pretty neat. I have an unprompted follow-up question. If you've got anything else on Civ 6, hit me, because I'm going to ask you to talk about something different potentially.
Oh, go for it. That's about all my Civ.
Okay, I'll get that game at some point. Like, those games are very cool. They're very much like the if you can get past the like the amount of UI that is in them, because it's at least in the past games it has been plentiful.
Bark.
The sensation of them playing them is like that's like a Roller Coaster Tycoon thing to me. It's the reason I could get into those, but not like RTSs. Was that, like, they're turn-based, you can just play them at your own pace.
I suppose, just sit there and fiddle with it. It's just a board game. It's too much of a board game for me.
You might know this, but I thought I heard that it was coming out on the Switch.
I believe that's true. And, in fact, I would guess that's almost certainly true, because they back in the day, I think it was around, like, either Civ 5 era or, like, between 4 and 5, they did, like, I think it was called Civilization Revolution or something.
It was a console version
of Civ. It was like, you know, they dumbed down a handful of things about it and changed the UI so you could, like, manipulate it with joysticks or whatever. And it was also pretty well received, too, I think, overall.
Yeah, I normally don't like playing on a console, but since the Switch has a touchscreen, I think it would be a lot different
better than
to play
most
on.
To just kind of palm it or whatever. And
I was going to look into getting it, and then I thought about it for a second. I was like, wait a minute, you already own it on PC.
Wait a minute, you...
You don't need to throw down 30 more bucks. Yeah.
Get it, you coward.
So, and I have a thing, like, if I have something on one system, I usually can't justify buying it again. Because I know myself. If I was, like, going to work every day right now, I would not have time for any Civ.
Right, for sure. That's very cool. Yeah. Glad to hear it. Yeah, I might check that game out at some point. It's been a while. But yeah, those games.
What was your follow up?
So I was going to ask you about.
No.
I think literally last time we had you on the podcast, we were talked about it in passing because it was going to come out at that point very soon. Did you ever play the new Metro?
I didn't.
Okay, there you go.
Here's the thing. I made a mistake and I missed the boat.
Okay, is what that's happened. Fair.
No.
I wanted to get it on PC because that's where I play my Metro games. And because it's a shooter.
Yeah.
And I went to Steam one day, and I was like, wait a minute, why can't I pre-order it? Well, I found out, like a day or two before that, it was pulled from... This was back in January.
Mm-hmm.
It was pulled from the Steam store because EA
they
or
struck a deal
Ubisoft
or whatever,
or whoever, I forget, is the American publisher for
Storefront
it.
Storefront stuff.
They have their own new store or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you can only buy it from us now.
Boom.
So if you had pre-ordered it,
you could still get
it
there.
You could get it through Steam.
Yeah. And in fact, I think we did talk about this specific thing at the time.
So I still haven't purchased it since then because I'm not like boycotting it. I just haven't had time to play the game. Although now might not be a bad time to consider picking it up.
Okay. I was just curious because... The reason I was asking
really
was
feeling massive right now.
we started watching Chernobyl, the HBO miniseries, and Lorraine, I have to be completely honest here.
You watched
clean.
It.
I did finish.
You monster.
Look, you're further than me then.
But she like I know I'll finish it with you still if you ever want to finish it. But every other time I was like ready to put in another episode, she was like not now, and I respect that because it is not like light viewing
it's dark
by any
show.
Means. Yeah, it's not like. It's not like, you know, you got your TV dinner out. Yeah. It's like, all right, let's watch some Chernobyl. But I guess I'm like, I don't know. I think I have a pretty high tolerance for dark television.
Yeah.
Because somehow I can take through that shit during dinner. Like, I can watch a weird fucked up war documentary and just, like, eat my Salisbury steak or whatever and just, like, kind of absorb it.
Normally I can, but I think I've been a little off. I watched a little bit of Chernobyl, and then there was one day I put on that new Amazon show, The Boys.
Okay.
It's that superhero show.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting like a normal kind of superhero show, like Justice League.
And I've heard it is not particularly light.
And I got through the first episode and I was like, damn, this is not what I expected. Like,
yeah.
I think I want to watch it, but I need to be in the mood for something
that is definitely more of a
darker, like,
more of a curveball. Because, like, you know what you're getting with Chernobyl.
Yeah,
like it is exactly as advertised.
Right.
That other The Boys, I think, at least in like the advertisements that I saw for it, it looks a little more tongue in cheek. Like, it looks a little sillier than I've heard the show might actually be.
That's what I thought.
Because I haven't watched it, but I've like heard like read reviews of it and stuff. But when I saw like the ad, like trailers for it on YouTube, it looked a lot more like sarcastic than like dark. But I hear that it's maybe kind of more dark descendant than previously indicated.
You were gonna go on.
But I was just saying, like, Metro is kind of the spiritual successor to those Stalker games.
Mm-hmm.
And I had played those back in the day, and that's, like, the only thing I could think about after finishing Chernobyl was just, like, those games and how pretty early on those are like, some high points in terms of, like, setting the state, like, basically being an interpretation of a real situation, like, artistically through video games, because those games feel like that show feels.
Well, you know, like, they went there for those games, right?
Well, those are Eastern Bloc, like, they were made by, I don't know if the guys who made them live in Ukraine specifically, but they live in the general
GSG.
Area, yeah, of, like, they were close enough to where, like, the Chernobyl incident is close to home in a way that is not for people who live in, like, the Midwest and North America.
I think they were in, like, the Ukraine and Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
The dev studios, I think.
But,
They had tons of high-res photos, and they put some of them in the games, too. Like, you can see some old black-and-white photos and stuff. And
and similarly to that other thing, in terms of tone or whatever, in the way that, like, Fallout is very kind of like sarcastic and tongue-in-cheek and satirical. Those Stalker games are just dark.
Yeah.
Like, there is just like a weight to them. There is a heaviness and a bleakness that they do not like sugarcoat it. They don't like it's just spooky. Baked into the experience in a way that is like really impressive for a game that came out like 20 years ago or however old that first Stalker game is at this point. But
so I'm not gonna lie, when we watched those first two episodes of Chernobyl, I was kind of sick to my stomach and didn't want to keep eating dinner while we were watching it. And like then hearing that like episode 3 is somehow worse.
There's some and hearing pretty graphic some of the, medical.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, I should prepare myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're saying it's graphic medical. Like that's
you can close your eyes through those
but
scenes.
Still, like that is the one thing that I can't physically do because I would faint. Like I almost guarantee it. Like I can't do medical horror. Like. That stuff that I physically cannot process it. It's not that it's...
Sorry?
It's not that it's just scary. It's like, I kind of shut down on, like, a physical level, and I don't want to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I think of that when I think of medical horror.
What, Bioshock?
Bioshock.
But that's still even, like, that's even more cartoony still. Like, I can, like, Bioshock doesn't, like, give me a physical reaction of, like, I'm going to pass out now. But I've had that happen with movies before. I've had that happen with other things. And, like, I know my limits, and I think that's getting a little too close to it.
I understand that.
So I'm not sure. I may, I don't know. We'll see if I want to finish it or not.
That's fair.
But
I'm waiting until I'm in the mood again.
It is a very well-produced show.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ugh, like the...
It's pretty much just the right length, probably, to kind of give, like, a summary of events from beginning to end. Like, it's not too long, it's not too short. It's, like, 5-ish hours, the whole miniseries or whatever.
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good. I would highly recommend.
But
if you can,
if you can stomach it.
If you can gird yourself mentally and physically for the journey, because it's not light watching by any means, but...
Maybe I'm tapping out. I don't know. We'll see if I ever feel in the mood for it
Just, like, I hadn't thought about those games that recently and...
Mm-hmm.
to like just too much. I hadn't thought about them recently, but I, like it flooded back like just how well those games did that thing specifically, which is a thing that like video games hadn't done that much to date, and honestly haven't really done that much more since.
A good kind of like historical and also tying game stuff into it of like the Chernobyl incident as a whole is Cloth Maps, the YouTube channel Cloth Maps. Look into like the guy behind it, Drew Scallion, actually went to
He visited the exclusion zone, and
he went there and was like kind of drawing some parallels to I think he mentioned Stalker a few times, and like kind of did some like shot by shot comparisons of like there are certain locales kind of like what you're saying, in the games recreated from like the actual stuff, and it's very interesting. It's a handful of kind of short-ish episodes on YouTube. It's a really good watch.
I played a lot of Stalker back in the day. I played all the expansions for it. And I would say that I was kind of shocked by like the opposite, because I didn't do a lot of personal research on Chernobyl back in the day. But I played those games a ton.
Yeah.
And when I started seeing it on the HBO show, I feel like I kind of know this place.
Yeah.
And then I looked at other photos online and stuff at, you know, how well recreated it was. I was like, that's
because there were definitely times that when the we were watching the show that I remembered seeing that cloth map thing and was just like, I've seen, or at least their interpretation of like, I was like, I've seen what this looks like actually like in person in quotes. But yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Like,
yeah.
And I can't.
No, go ahead.
I was saying, and as far as like the Metro games go, because you were asking about, you're talking about those earlier. I can't say for the second and third installations,
right?
But I've read the first book, and I've played that game a couple of times, and they do a pretty good job of translating everything in the book to the game really well. So
that's impressive.
I played that game long before I listened to the book. I think I just listened to the book last year. And I played the game, I don't know, whatever year it came out.
Sure.
I think that'll probably be, Exodus would probably be a winter game for me this year. I have some other stuff I'll probably be playing before that.
Although in the same, like, that sounds like the kind of thing that, like, you could play it for a while, and then, like, as soon as you feel, like, the combination of the game itself and, like, seasonal affective disorder creeping over you, you're like, all right, maybe it's time to pull the plug for at least a couple hours.
Well, no, so you wait for the seasonal affective disorder. Or whatever. However you say it.
You miss the sun.
Yes, I miss the sun. And then you play it because now you're really in the mood for it.
Now you're hyper-depressed.
Yes.
You're feeding your depression. You can
bask in it.
Yeah, and so, Brian, if I'm getting you correctly, so you played those games, like, you either just like saw reviews of them or you just came across them, but you played them without, at least initially, having the larger, like, connection that it was, like, kind of rooted in that stuff.
For Stalker?
Yeah.
I knew the vague concept of it, but as soon as I saw, like, screenshots before the game ever came out, and I had heard about it, I was like, I'm buying this.
Okay.
So I had Stalker right when it came out.
Gotcha. Because I came to those games, I don't remember, I'd have to look up when they came out originally, but I think I came to them, at least the first one, definitely after it was initially released.
I feel like I might remember you getting
because this would have probably been like with
Clear Sky.
Yeah, and this would have probably been like 2004 to 2006, I would guess, somewhere in there, which I don't think is when that first game came out, but it might have been. Yep. I'd have to go look at the timeline. But anyway, I came at them from I used to listen to a bunch of the podcasts on OneUp.com, which is now a defunct video game website, and one of them was GFW Radio. It was basically their, like, PC game podcast. And I played very few PC games at the time, but those guys were good enough on that show that I just listened to anyway.
You probably already played the apex of PC games, so there was no point in playing
that's right. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon. I was kind of retired at that point.
Yeah, you might as well. Just hang up your mouse and your gaming keyboard and just...
But it was one of the editors, I had to double-check to remember the name right, but Sean Elliott was one of the editors of 1UP, and he was one of the guys on that show. And he was the guy who really, like, went to bat for that game in terms of describing it as this, like, incredibly intricate, incredibly detailed, like, kind of immersion of, like...
Stalker?
A really brutal Stalker. Okay. Yeah. of a, like a really brutal, like real world place and scenario mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And that's kind of what got me in to check that game out. Because, like I said, I played many fewer PC games than I did console games. Like, I probably have played one PC game for every, like, 15 console games I've tried in my lifetime.
And Roller Coaster Tycoon counts as, like, 50, so, I mean,
But the interesting thing there is he went on to, I don't know where he's working now, but he went on to work on the BioShock team while they were making BioShock Infinite. And those, I think that the interesting thing about those games is like there is a parallel to those and not in that, like, for me, the BioShock series is like each of those is like Disneyland with like a Joker smile written on it.
Yes.
Like it is like, it yes. is a version of a world that like, when you look twisted. At it, when you look at it, as long as you don't scratch the surface, like it feels like a place that could exist, but definitely not a place that has existed.
Yes.
Like Main Street USA does or whatever. Like this is like a version of America that could be, but it's definitely not really the one that we had. But like every detail about it is so intricate that you buy it while you're there.
You peel back the thin layer and you just see the like the scaffolding and the twisted like architecture.
I think they achieve similar heights in terms of building a world and a mood, but they evoke the opposite. Which is that, like, they aren't flashy. It's not like a...
it's falling apart.
Yeah, it is a very lived grounded, in. Very, like, it is the opposite. It's not a place that is fantastical that you believe could exist in, you know, a it world of fantasy and imagination. It right, exactly. It is a world that feels like it
did exist
at some like, point in reality.
You are visiting
in time.
An actual place rather than seeing an attraction.
It really is mm-hmm. the like it's more closer to like documentary filmmaking than like you know the Disney version mm-hmm. of said events or whatever. Which is just I just find that all very very interesting.
Disney's next 3D movie is just going to be called Nuclear, and it's their tale of Chernobyl. Got it,
Lorraine.
Bang.
Damn.
Got him.
And I've said before I would love a Stalker game, but I don't know if we'll see one for a long time.
Oh, sure. Mm. But yeah, so that's how I had come to that game, those games originally, and
they're real good.
Yeah, for sure. I might go back and boot that up at some point after watching Chernobyl again, and just like
again.
After watching Chernobyl, I might go boot that game up again because I haven't played it since I first played it. You know, a decade plus
fair
past.
I think my Stalker memories are probably on par with your Roller Coaster Tycoon memories. And that actually says a lot, seeing like that I've played games like EverQuest and WoW, and like mm-hmm. I've played a lot of PC games that I've sunk a lot of hours into.
Yeah.
That is one of the few offline games I've sunk like easily hundreds of hours. Like if I would be shocked if I didn't pass the 200-hour mark.
Mm-hmm.
In my Stalker career, so.
That sentence, take it out of context, is very poor.
You're a Roller Coaster Tycoon?
No.
Or what?
Putting 200 plus hours into my Stalker career.
Damn, print out the game box, put the quote on it.
That is true. I'll give you that one.
And
Stalker is an acronym?
Oh my gosh.
And as though I've been containing this entire time, Stalker... I barely know her. Moving on.
Anyway, if you feel like you can stomach it, go watch Chernobyl.
I don't think I can.
I expect to finish that, but there's a world
that I would like to, mm-hmm. but the more I hear about it, and the more that I recall my reaction to the first two episodes, just kind of maybe mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, but and then maybe Brian, for you personally, if you ever do get around to playing that new Metro game, let me know.
Definitely play it.
Yeah,
like I said,
I'd just be curious.
It'll probably
be this fall.
The throngs of depression.
Honestly, I was just thinking about, man, I should pick that up, but then I remembered yesterday I ordered the racing wheel I was talking about.
That's
what?
A whole different conversation.
I know.
You didn't really. What were you?
Because you're playing.
PS4.
Oh, okay. I saw you playing Gran Turismo on there. Yeah.
Well, and that was the other thing. I was like, well, if I feel like I'm going to get a racing wheel, which I probably will,
mm-hmm.
how much Gran Turismo do I want to play before it gets here? Because then I'm going to get used to the controller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been playing Civ instead, and it should be here tomorrow.
Nice.
But
nice.
That's what I was asking you. I meant to ask you the night before, hoping it would be here today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I had a package too get delayed. It was supposed to come like today, and it's just like,
oh, it's not delayed.
Oh,
I just forgot to ask you the night before if you had any recommendations. And
well, you said mm-hmm. thanks, Amazon. I was like, I just had something like,
or just thanks that it'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I'd love to try that out at some point for sure. But yeah, I just play these days. I play racing games so infrequently that I when I play them, I really enjoy them, but I just don't play them like regularly in the same way that I might have at certain points in my career. Let me tell you about
the pinnacle of racing games, which is Diddy Kong Racing,
which is Roller Coaster Tycoon somehow. No,
because it's not a racing game.
I will agree. I love Diddy Kong Racing.
Fucking slaps. So, but it's neither here nor there.
Lorraine, I don't want to. No, it's not worth it.
Fight me.
I would personally say that that's not even the best kart racing game on that platform. Dang. But
I mean, it does have Mario Kart. So.
Yeah, Mario Kart 64.
I had Diddy Kong, though. I love Diddy Kong.
It's got that one with the semi-trucks on it.
They had planes and
Diddy
Kong.
First of all, the desert level with the train is the best level. Like, okay. Let's be real.
We all know it was Wave Race. Come on.
That's not a kart racer.
I mean, it's a racing game. You try to get first place.
You were specifically talking about kart racing.
I mean, Diddy Kong Racing's not technically a kart racer, though, either.
There are carts in it.
Yeah, but there's planes,
too. That's a plane's not a kart.
But it's also a kart racer. Science. It can be a racing game and also a kart racer.
True.
Those aren't mutually exclusive. All right,
I'll give it to you. On a technicality.
Haha. That's how I win most of my arguments.
The best kind of victory.
It's true.
Oh, technical. Boy.
Technical. All of my, if this was a fighting game, all of my wins would just say T on them.
TKO.
Oh, bang. Boy. Anyway, yeah, I'd be really curious because I've never played any of those. I haven't played any of the Metro games. I played those Stalker games.
They're really
good. Yeah, I never got around to playing.
If you like that dark atmosphere you feel with Stalker, put it in underground tunnels half the time, and the other half the time, like blown up cities on the surface.
Now you're just reading my dream journal.
Which is not that different from Stalker. And you've got Metro.
Okay.
So Metro is really good. I think you'd like it if you ever went and played it.
I'll check it out maybe.
But you gotta be in the mood for like a dark kind of spooky kind of game.
Yeah. So that's the one thing that I will say for sure about Destiny is the place they've arrived in that game is that like a lot of the day-to-day activities you can do in that game are so light on a like there's plenty of stuff you can do in that game that isn't narratively focused, and there are plenty of things in that game that are like lightly narratively focused that are just kind of like chill. Like that game has become a little more freewheeling over time. That it is an excellent like palate cleanser, like decompiling kind of like
absolutely.
If you need to not be thinking about how rough your day was. Destiny has become a game that is very easy to boot up for an hour and just like kind of shut down like the higher functioning parts of your mind. And
that was me
blow up aliens
this past Tuesday because I had a somewhat rough ish day at work. I wasn't there was a disconnect between like me physically doing the motions and the part of my brain that was supposed to be doing them right. And I was just having I was just not in a good mood all day long. I get home and just did was like an hour of Escalation Protocol and could just shut my brain off, and I was having a great time.
I think I was there.
You were there for a lot of it. I had done a little bit before you got there. But just it is. I mean, that's part of the reason why I like playing it, because not only are we playing with friends, which makes it palatable because it's just like the same mundane activities over and over and over again. But it's light. Like I don't have to think about what I'm doing necessarily. While we're talking about whatever asinine nonsense we're babbling on about that day, or stuffing some noobs with a not forgotten because he called Aaron till a crutch. Oh, that was fun last night.
Oh, boy.
The salt. Oh, it's anyway, so good. But it's just, I think, and like, I still, like, when you guys are playing Halo over the weekend, like, I don't think I'd get that from Halo because it's such a different thing. I don't have that nostalgia. I'm not into Destiny because it's a first-person shooter. I still don't really like the genre. I'm still not good at it. But I have the muscle memory for Destiny just because I've been playing it for almost a year now, honestly. And I enjoy the atmosphere that not only the game has, but that playing it with friends brings. And that's the part of it that I like. The shooting is fine. Like, I care less. I'm terrible at it either way, no matter how good it feels.
Yeah.
But that's the part about Destiny that I like. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really dumb sometimes. Like, there's some dumb shit that goes on in that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we make it dumber, which makes it even better.
I think it's just interesting that that game, I think, has found, like, as good a balance as it's going to find, probably, over the course of its life to date. Because Destiny 1 was very much...
It was too self-serious, from what I've seen.
It was very self-serious. It was much closer to, like, high fantasy in space.
I made all those jokes about the light and the dark.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was.
But, like, I don't think that game... could be that for as much of an extent of like your play session as it is, and be a thing that is like a thing you log into a couple times a week.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think it could be a live game in the way that it is now and still be that like self-serious and like narratively driven and stuff like that. And I think that like we'll really find out when Shadowkeep comes out, when like the new expansion comes out, like if they're kind of still on that track, which it seems like they kind of are.
I mean, if they do,
like there are like little spikes of that,
like Forsaken, right? Like Forsaken was in, like, from what I can tell. Obviously, I didn't play pre-Forsaken, but from the way that it seemed to inject, like there was just a little bit, just kind of like starting the like you get some cool cutscenes or whatever. You go to two new places. There's more stuff to do. I'm assuming it's probably just gonna be the one with the moon, but whatever. I'm curious to see if they go, because it seems like they kind of took out all the stops for Forsaken. Like, at least, like, base for, not necessarily, like, the seasons following. But that base seemed to have a big chunk of what all of Destiny kind of revolves around now. Like, honestly, like, Mercury and Mars did a little, but Forsaken was the big boost. And while they don't have Activision behind them now, so they probably don't have as much of a budget to do as big of a spectacle, I think it's still going to be, at least it should be, given the fact that they pushed it back like what, a few weeks or whatever, it should be bigger than Black Armory,
Gears Wild. It's got the price tag, like they're charging like an annual expansion.
I'm assuming
amount of money.
I'm gonna guess it's gonna be between Forsaken and all three of those in the terms of scope and
But it's like, got a new effort. It's got a new raid, it's got new like campaign style missions and stuff like that.
Sad Hat, and now we're getting another thing. Heck. Bang.
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to that.
Let me tell you about Scourge.
I still haven't done it.
I love Scourge. We should raid with you tonight.
Tonight.
I mean, we maybe could.
I don't
see
work
about
tomorrow.
It.
All my Let's raid.
But anyway,
let's raid.
Yeah,
Sad Hat is fun.
Very
but
briefly
Scourge
touched on.
Scourge is really short.
I suspect.
I like Scourge.
I suspect we'll do.
Scourge.
Wait, what do I need my light level to be, though?
That was from Black Armory, so you're high enough.
That's like two or three seasons ago content. Your Titan could probably do it.
650 something?
Yeah, that's high enough.
Because it was the first raid, was Leviathan, so that's like forever ago. The second one was Last Wish, which was probably around 600, because that was the Forsaken raid. And then comes Scourge, and then comes Sad Hat. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crown of Sorrow is the technical name. We call it Sad Hat.
I know it by neither name, so.
Sad Hat.
Just as good for me.
Uh-huh.
Sad Hat.
Scourge of the Past is cool. I like Scourge.
Yeah, I mean, if Scourge, my Titan Scourge, can do Scourge. It, I'd probably be up for it.
All right. Well, then in that case, I'll keep that in mind as we wrap up this show, then. Because I do want to touch on, there was Destiny stuff this week. The TWAB. The This Week at Bungie blog post has some stuff about a lot of Crucible changes. Like, we're not going to get into the details of any of the stuff, because, like, since Lorraine was so enthusiastic about doing this podcast, I do want to keep finding equilibrium between things that I'm dragging her to and things that I'm getting her excited about doing.
Okay, so it's not that I do enjoy doing the dev stuff online, because I like sharing that kind of stuff. I don't do enough of that. I enjoy that.
Progress.
And I don't, like, the dev casts are fine, but when it's just that,
I agree.
It's such a hard swing, because but with the game streaming and then our podcast, it was a lot lighter, and we obviously didn't get as much done game-side-wise, but it's overcorrecting, I think, too far,
and I agree,
we could find a nice
equilibrium.
Yeah,
I agree we need a better balance, for sure, and I think we should do more podcasting in general when we, like, we should just force ourselves to find more times to do that. So with that in mind, I suspect we'll have a McGrath-filled post-Shadowkeep podcast discussing how the game has actually changed once that expansion drops, but they did announce a bunch of stuff about changes to the Crucible. Like, they're changing a bunch of the playlists. which they talked about before. They give specific numbers for things that they're buffing and debuffing. Like, all the supers are going to take, like, 5 to 10% less. They'll have 5 to 10% less damage resistance while you're in super in the Crucible, which is probably a change for the best. And then they're going to start rotating maps more heavily in the Crucible based on season. So they called out...
Get away from me, Vostok, you vile man. So
they called out Deadcliffs, Legion's Gulch, Retribution, and Solitude as maps that are all going to rotate out for the next coming season. Like, Dead they won't Cliffs be in any of the playlists leave. At all. But and while they're out, they're going to basically be like making slight changes to like the spawn points and like where stuff drops, like kinda heavy and stuff like that. And like the layouts of the maps Gulch. Before they I like reproduce Legion's them. Gulch.
What are the other ones?
Deadcliffs, Legion's Gulch, Retribution, Solitude. I think those are a lot of good choices.
Which one is Solitude?
Solitude's the one...
Is it the cylinder one with the waterfall?
Or no. Solitude's the other one on Mars that has, like, the... It's got, like, a base in the center and, like, that hallway that you walk down and heavies at the end of it.
B's inside and C's in, like, the ice caves and A's over there. Yeah. Okay, that one... I don't like that one that much.
So it's that one.
And then...
Retribution is the circular one that's, like, on a spaceship or whatever.
I love the donut! We do so much killing
Legion's
in the
Legion's Gulch is the one with, like, Legion's the base and the launchers Gulch. Or whatever.
I always forget its name, but I know Legion, because I live at A in that one. And that's then, my home.
Yeah, Deadcliffs is that other one that's like a shanty town kind of thing where when you spawn at A, you lose.
Deadcliffs sucks.
But those two specifically, Deadcliffs and Legion's Gulch, I think make a lot of sense to take out and tweak, because they can make the like flow through of those maps better.
There are for, some, like, some, of those some weirder
objective-based modes. Where
Legion's Gulch, but...
But anyway.
The other one, like... Let me tell you about that truck lane in Deadcliffs, and it sucks. That's all.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that seems positive in there, but yeah, we'll go.
I don't know them either until we get there, and I see a picture, I'm like, oh, that's right, this one.
I usually do just enough Crucible to, like, get my powerful gear for the week, but even the last couple weeks, I don't think I've done any Crucible. Cause
sure, that's fair.
I've been playing that Titan, and
yeah, right.
I mean, light level doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In Crucible. Iron Banner does.
But I wasn't looking to get powerful gear or anything. Fair. Like, because up until I hit 50, it was like, well, what are you doing? Are you getting experience?
Right.
You need a bunch of powerful drops.
Exactly. What you said before. Now that you're...
Scourge.
Now that you basically leveled that character for Shadowkeep or whatever, mm-hmm. you'll be at the light cap when that launches, so there's no point in grinding it out now.
Then I'm going to have to make a decision, because it's like, well, which character do I kind of want to...
Sure.
Make my priority.
Yeah. And I would just, like, log in on each of them, like, log in on each of them once for, like, your first hunter. Two play sessions. Yeah. And then, like, whichever one you just feel like playing on more, just start playing on that one more frequently at that point.
I was going to say, I've been really enjoying the Titan, but I don't know if it's because I just like the way it plays versus my Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's because it's new.
It's just new, right.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the thing.
Well, you might as well make a hunter and figure out.
I thought about that, but I don't have the... I mean, I could probably level a hunter by the time, even without the boost.
I'm gonna do the 30s. Yeah, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to probably make a hunter when it launches and just see what happens. Because they said that...
Oh, right.
They said that a fresh character will start with gear that's at level 750, but it's still not clear if they'll, like... Have all the abilities 50. And stuff and be at level 50. So I kind of just want to find out for myself what even occurs when you do that.
I couldn't use a lot of gear.
Uh-huh.
I had to find a lot of it. That's why my light level is not like 750 or whatever on the Titan.
Right.
Because even though I've got guns that are, you know, higher, it didn't... I was picking up gear that...
Right.
From kills that I made that were like, I don't know, you need 3 more levels before you can wear this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like...
right.
Kicking a can while you walk along the
but
tower.
Now you can technically
look at all that unused
light. Now you can technically put on anything, which is good.
I need
now that you
hit
50 or whatever. So.
Yeah, that was my goal. Like, I didn't want to, like, stress myself out trying to get there. So I was just like, I'm gonna play it when I feel like it.
Yeah, and then eventually
and
I'll
it'll
get to
hit
level
60 before. You know, I knew it was gonna hit 60 before. I just didn't expect it to be
right.
Like 4 weeks before.
Nice. Yeah, good deal. So yeah, that's coming out October 1st, and we'll definitely be talking about it more after it's released.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I still like Destiny.
It.
Yeah, it's good. It's still better than that game's probably ever been in any iteration to date. And the other thing we learned while playing Halo 2 is that, like, man, is that game important to, like, the tapestry of video games? But it's hard to go home, man.
It old.
It is not fresh.
Him old.
But it's still, like, I was still glad we had that play session, but it is not the kind of thing where... The comment I made at the time was, like, if I start playing, like, Chrono Trigger at any point, I'd be happy that I was playing Chrono Trigger. Like, I'd just have fun doing it. When I started playing Halo 2 again, I did not want to do it as much as I wanted to just be playing Destiny. I was like, I could just go get back and be playing this more modern, more refined, like, much more fully realized version of this thing.
Sure.
Than playing the much older, much more primitive.
I feel like graphics do that a lot for me, but I do think that certain games, like you were just saying, they hold up a lot better.
Yeah, and
early 3D doesn't hold up
for Halo.
It's really hit or miss with a lot of them.
I don't even think it was the graphics for me personally. I think it was just that, like, the controls are so different now on first person shooter across the board, and the mobility options are so different.
It's a very plotting game.
Destiny has running and double jumping and sliding and, like, character powers. And Halo 2 has, you can do one jump and that's it. You can't even sprint in that game. That's how old that game is in terms of mechanics in the first-person shooter genre.
You just mosey.
Yeah, that game, like, that game is probably closer to Doom, like, original Doom, than it is our first-person shooters at this point, considering how
Sure.
So now you're making me think about Stalker.
Well, there you go.
That's one of the things I loved about that was it was very realistic. Like you had weight and stuff when you carried, you could run and So you couldn't do that in a lot of games. Like Counter-Strike.
Right.
You could walk.
Mosey.
But running was the default.
Yeah.
Mosey.
But yeah, that was still fun though. It was a fun little experiment. But I wouldn't get back into playing Halo 2 for
We land a bunch of Xbox 360s together, and they played Halo 2 multiplayer. That's what happened.
Yeah. Which, again, fun to remember.
It was an ordeal. Like,
fun to remember. Fun to look at all those maps again. That was the one I enjoyed the most, just seeing all those areas that, like, I played a lot of Halo 2 multiplayer.
I did not.
Looking back at a lot of those levels was fun. But
DEFCON.
Yeah.
That is all.
But, yeah, don't necessarily think I'll get into playing Halo 2 on the reg or anything.
You wanted to play
through. That was Halo 3, wasn't it?
I think it was. But I do want to try that game at some point, just to compare and contrast those two, at least a little bit. But anyway, yeah, we'll talk more about Shadowkeep when it comes out for sure.
Bang!
I think the last thing I'll put to the table here before we wrap this up is we'll do some highlights from that Nintendo Direct.
Woo!
So, Lorraine, anything you remember, shout it out.
I'm going to like, click through a couple news articles. The only thing I watched was the Sword and Shield thing, so I know nothing else aside from a handful of other random...
Okay, because I had it playing in the background today as I was just like tidying up and stuff around the house, but I didn't...
Lay it on
like,
me.
Overwatch is on Switch.
That's cool. I did see that was a thing.
Sure, why not?
Whatever. Okay.
SNES games are on Switch, which is awesome.
Sick.
And they are a free add-on to, like, if you're already paying for their online subscription thing, they fall under the umbrella of that. So,
okay.
So you get, I think it's 20 or 30 SNES games that you can just also play now.
There's a lot of really good ones, too.
Okay. Yeah, it's most of the best ones, honestly.
Cool.
It's like Super Metroid, Super Mario, Link to the Past.
Mario Kart,
Yoshi's Island.
And I can't like, remember.
15 other things that are slightly less good.
In there.
But a lot of heavy hitters. For sure.
That was my most, I think, excited one, because like, I was telling my brother as we watched it, out of all these, I think this is the one I'm most likely to get a ton of use out of.
Because
I play the Nintendo one pretty often, too, so it's pretty cool.
What else? The Banjo's in Smash now, which is neat.
Give me that bear, give me that bird! That's all.
Did you see him use... Did you actually see some of his moves? There's this, like...
I think they showed it in the first... His, like, announcement.
There's, like, a bird gun that's
That's from Banjo-Tooie.
Uh-huh.
It's funny.
Terry Bogard's in Smash soon, which is... He's from, like, King Fighters and Fatal Fury and stuff.
Terry.
So there was, like... They had an announcement the other day that there was, like, a female character joining Smash soon. From like I thought it said female, or maybe it was, I don't remember. I didn't see the actual announcement, so I was surprised when I saw stuff about
Terry. I mean, they haven't announced the last character in their like original five DLC things, so maybe it's that.
Maybe that's what it was.
And then they also said that they're just making more characters after that. Which,
I did
sure,
see that.
Why wouldn't they?
Cool.
Click back over to this other list.
How many is one of his taunts throwing the hat?
I hope so. I hope that's what he does when he wins. Like I hope his like clapping is just throwing the hat.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's all I know about Terry Beauregard. He like punches stuff on the ground or something.
Yeah, those Undertale outfits and Smash. Tokyo Mirage Sessions is getting ported to, yep. to Switch, okay. which is neat. Like, that game, I enjoyed that game. I don't think I'll go back and play it again.
No, not again.
If you didn't play it originally, I would. Sure. And you're into those kind of games, I would say.
Chrome Topics like in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Quality. Just quality.
I was actually going to text you guys about it until I realized that it wasn't like a follow-up game. It was...
Right.
I hate when they... give it like a special edition name.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just like, Japan being
Sharp
Japan.
FE whatever yeah. edition.
There's
like...
this was one of the weirder, more interesting things. So there's a Tetris 99 2.0, which is that Tetris Battle Royale game that they put out on Switch.
Tetris 99 is dope. Continue.
And it comes with Invictus mode, which is basically a playlist you can only enter if you've won a game of Tetris 99.
I won like so eight, it's like so
the
let's go.
Where all the like god tiers live, god tier players like shuffle into.
Send me to Tetris Comp. I got this. Sweet.
But yeah, it basically is Tetris Comp.
Fight me,
which is kind of incredible.
I have the offline version of that, like.
Yeah.
It's like $10 or whatever.
Oh, uh-huh. Right. You could get the like single. I considered doing that because I love me a good marathon mode.
I just like to play Tetris Same. Every now and then. And I was like, this is cool, but I'm really bad. And these 98 other people probably aren't as bad as me.
Mm-hmm. Or you just bust out any sort of DS playing device and play Tetris DS, which is the pinnacle of Tetris games.
I don't have that.
Let's
It's
see.
Almost impossible to get now. It's very expensive. It's a good fucking game.
A couple other things.
It's for the original
here.
DS.
Very I good. Have Geometry Wars.
That's not Tetris DS.
No.
Deadly Premonition and Deadly Premonition 2 are coming to Switch.
Okay. I heard about
Which is
that.
Funny.
Did you have
I do
a
like that
about
they're
it?
Starting to get like some more of what I would consider like the adult games. I think it.
Yeah, they've really stepped into the arena of like the Switch is a platform for all games. Like they're very much not. They're no longer the like
just
we curate this
friendly.
Console to just be friendly for family friendly content necessarily.
Because kind of like what we were talking about the other day, like when we were up north last weekend, it was just like it's not a media platform because there's no like Netflix or anything on it. It's just a games platform, and they seem to be opening the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like just whatever, man. Put whatever you want on this thing.
Doom 64 is coming to Switch, which is nobody's favorite version of Doom.
What?
But it is a version of Doom.
What?
I like Doom 64.
I mean, it's fine. It's
what?
Just like, you know, there are so many other ways
why?
You can play Doom.
Yeah.
But like,
why?
I don't know. Why not?
Okay.
Maybe it was just the easiest one for them to port.
Right. Almost,
the new Doom,
that's almost certainly
like,
true.
The more recent Doom is technically on the Switch, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
but
think
I mean, it's
so,
not, that's
yeah,
not the
that's
same
not
game.
Nostalgia.
I know. But like...
Eh? For some reason... they're putting Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast on the Switch.
I agree.
So that game is... But here's the thing. Like, I have no idea who the audience for that game is today.
Zero?
Because I don't even think it's me. Although I played an astronomical amount of that game when it was out.
I played none of it.
Rip.
Because, like, that was when I was... When we did that other stream of Destiny 2 PC...
Oh, right.
While I was waiting for it to install, I was going to play that for just as long as it was going to take that Destiny to install, and I could never get it to display right. So
yeah,
then
that
I just
was,
quit.
That was fucked up.
But, like, who is that game for today?
Zero people!
Because it's, like, sort of for me, but I don't think I really want to play it.
It's
like,
for no one!
Mm-hmm. Like, Stalker is a game I would want to revisit for, like, intellectual purposes.
And leave it there.
I don't think I want to go back to this game for that reason.
Fuck that
it's
game.
Just not the same kind of thing.
If I was going to go back, I think, I told my brother, I think I would want, a KOTOR port. Like,
sure.
Maybe an
That game is almost certainly
kind of
aged better
port.
Than, like, yeah, because I would guess this game is aged, like, what I described of Halo 2... I would guess this game is probably in that scenario, maybe worse. Like, it is not going to feel like any version of any modern video game. You know.
I'm trying, Dustin. I'm trying.
Ryan, stop it. And I do think part
they
of that...
They have it for the Android, though. I almost bought
Ew.
It.
Okay. And, like, the more I think about it now, like, I'm thinking, like, maybe part of it is just the, that, like, it is both, like, something being old intersecting with, like, its level of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, SNES games are, like, they are very old, but...
It's fairly
simple. Just, like, an input percent, from the number of buttons you could push to generate, like, outcomes,
mm-hmm.
they're not that complicated. Mm-hmm. These older 3D games are both very old, and they are much more complicated, and they're complicated in a way that modern video games aren't,
mm-hmm.
because modern video games have either become complicated in different ways,
mm-hmm.
or they have dialed back complexity intentionally to, like, diversify the number of people that can play them.
Because people have jobs.
Yeah, games of certain eras of 3D gaming that are old are kind of the worst of both worlds in
mm-hmm.
terms of, like, finding an audience today, I think. I mean, that's like totally what I expect that to be with Jedi Outcast.
PC games of that era, just because it was almost complexity for
But
they also had a keyboard,
yes,
which made a big
and
difference.
Stuff like,
which is part of the problem of porting something like this.
Like Brian said, stuff like KOTOR, I think, is like would be a much better fit because it's like it's a slower paced. Like you take your time with RPGs anyway, and you can kind of just like let that game simmer and sort of like figure it out in a way that is not like. Like, stormtroopers are not going to come barreling down and kill you in 10 seconds if you don't figure out, like, how to swing the lightsaber or whatever.
Watch me. Bark.
Somebody will probably buy that game, I guess. But when I saw that, I, like, almost couldn't believe. I was like, really?
Who missed?
All right.
That's what I said. Who is this for?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a very
no
strange
one
pick.
Ever.
Why are they putting
it? Like, even as someone who had, a huge amount of goodwill for that game at the time, I'm like, what?
I remember being vaguely interested because the thought of using, like, a Wii controller to swing a lightsaber was very unique at the time. But then I remembered I didn't have a Wii, so... I was like, well, I'm not buying a Wii for that.
Uh-huh.
Fair.
They shut off that other Game Freak game, which is now called... Where'd it go?
Town?
Or Little Town? Little Town Hero?
Something like that.
That one looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
The one that was just called Town before, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I think what Brian said is accurate. I think it's called
it's like
Little
Town Hero.
It is Little Town Hero now. Yeah. That's what that game's title is.
Yeah, that one looked kind
of
cool.
Mm-hmm. Return of the Obra Dinn's coming out on Switch, which is a cool, like, indie get. It's by the guy who made, Papers, Please.
Ah.
It's a very... I really want to play it, because I fucking loved Papers, Please. But Return of the Obra Dinn is like... It's basically like a ship comes in... My understanding, I haven't played it, but what I remember what it is.
It's
a ship,
graphics.
Like, floats into port, and it's like pixely. Like, it's like it's it looks kind of like a Game Boy game or something.
I mean, Papers, Please kind of look like a Game Boy game.
But, like, a ship flows... comes into port and is just like empty. There's just no human beings on it.
Okay.
And
you're
like a man with a manifest who basically has to like explore it, and you have to like point and click adventure style, kind of just try to figure out what the hell happened to this empty ship.
Okay.
But like, for as much as I love Papers, Please, I should play that game at some point. So maybe now that it's going to be on Switch, I'll pick it up, because I really liked Papers, Please. I enjoyed that game a great deal. And then that's most of the big stuff, I think. Like, there was more details on some Pokemon things. You can eat curry with your Pokemon.
You can cook.
And when you
curry
cook curry, it's added to your curry dex. And that's maybe the best, funniest thing that they've added to a Pokemon game ever in terms of
you
just
can
like
go
comedic.
Camping.
What was it? Boffins or Poffins?
Poffins.
Poffins, that's it.
It's Poffins.
So
that was Gen 4.
It was basically like a Poffin dex.
Yeah, this isn't the first time. The first thing, they're like, we make Kirby, like, Poffin! I'm like, that's it, we're here, we're done, move on.
There's a game called Super Kirby Clash that's free to play, which, like, at this point makes me wonder if Kirby is, like, the dollar store Nintendo character. Like, they've released so many, like, digital Kirby games that just, like, they've shuffled off after, like, it feels like there are hundreds of Kirby games that have come out in the last 10 years.
This one just looks like a weird Smash clone to me, though.
Uh-huh.
They've done that before, though. There is like a... it might be Triple Deluxe.
Okay. Mm.
Might have been the game that originally had that mode in it. Then they pulled it out and sold it separately on the eShop with a different rhythm game that was packaged in that game. And I think this is just kind of the evolution of that.
Hmm.
All 3DS stuff. Like, this was just on there. And I think... there's a lot of free-to-play Pokemon games, too, like, on the 3DS, most of them started, and there's one or two that have transitioned to mobile, that are just, like, they're very much mobile games, like, free-to-play stuff, not just, like, Pogo or whatever. So I think it's just, like, obviously, like, Nintendo has, like, a stock in Game Freak or whatever, but it's not their thing. I think Kirby is kind of transitioned into that thing just because it's such a lighter, more versatile franchise.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can definitely believe that.
It's a lot more approachable. Like, it's easier to put Kirby in different scenarios and not need any explanation than, like... I mean, like, Mario kind of gets that way, too, but I think they're a little more protective of some of those properties because, like, you put out a mediocre to bad, like... Zelda mobile game, and that tarnishes the franchise. You put out a mediocre
and people won't
Kirby
even notice.
Mobile game, and people will probably enjoy
17.
It, but it also won't make that much of a dent. I think there's just less risk in
that's
a
fair.
Kirby mobile
that
game.
That certainly makes sense, right?
Because like they're gonna handcraft a more like they're going to go more out of their way to build something phenomenal. Like, I think they kind of learned their lesson with Mario Run, because like that was just like fairly rudimentary. It was like a just kind of it was fine. Like it wasn't groundbreaking for a mobile game in the way that I think they want their games to hit no matter where.
And similarly, there's also less risk in putting out a thing and then at least slapping Kirby on it than there is just putting out a thing and making it a totally new.
Like,
not another Tembo the Badass Elephant or whatever.
That was Game Freak. That was not Nintendo.
Sure, but I mean, you know what I'm getting at. They could have. So that was just like a weird 2D platformer made by Game Freak. But if they really wanted to, they could have made that like a Pokemon. Like, you could have a Don fan in that game.
Oh,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
just to try to sell more copies Harmonite by slapping Pokemon around it or whatever.
I just think this. It's a little like. It's easier for them to do smaller projects and put maybe like, because if they get too deep into like franchises they haven't touched in a while, they're either gonna kind of tick off like they did put like Pit in something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, well, why haven't we had a real Kid Icarus game in a while? Or like F-Zero stuff. They don't want to bring in those franchises because they're also A, not as well known. And B, have some weird fan, like just kind of hungry, dormant fan bases that I don't think would take kindly to a slap together thing.
Sure.
But Kirby is just, it's more universal. Like, it's easier to palette, like I said, and just kind of like a, it's low risk. It's a slow, low ball down the middle. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
You might say that Kirby is malleable.
Dang. He puffed.
Well. Man, I think that might just call it a show. I'm not, I don't think we're going to really get better than that.
It's pretty good.
It's flexible.
Oh, yeah. I think that'll do it, honestly. That's Brian. I respect it. Game respect game. Yeah, that'll. We'll call it a podcast at that point. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and talking about new games and stuff. Thank you, Brian, for coming and joining us for a little bit. Always good to see your warm and smiling face across the room.
Hear your dulcet tone.
And thank you, Internet, for chilling with us for a little bit.
Bang.
Yeah, like Lorraine said, we'll still be trying to find like time to do different shit and a balance between stuff. But yeah, hopefully we can have more Kicking It for Funsies podcasts in the future.
You ever want to hear me ramble, come join my art streams.
Every Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern.
PickOurToad.tv/Lorraine.
Still going to try to do game dev streams whenever possible, Thursday nights. And
I got to start a new picture next week.
Podcasts, that's gonna be. Additional podcasts to come in the future. So
no, I just
your latest picture
plan.
Is very good. I enjoyed it quite a great deal. I still want to print it.
Sure.
It's anyway.
It's good photo.
Yeah. So that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time, Internet.
Bye.